Come on, grab your seats, guys. Make me feel at home. I said, make me feel uncomfortable. See, the truth is, and I'm not correcting him, there's no superstar Christian. We get the privilege of believing God. And we are what we are by the grace of God. You know, there's no boasting, really. There truly. I understand that we can give ourselves to Jesus and give ourselves to the Word, and there's things we can thank people for. But the truth is, if anybody has anything, it's because it's been given. And there's no boasting in men. God is good. Amen? He's really good. So the first thing he taught me years ago was the first time I ever taught. I was about 6 months old, and I taught a class, 6 months old in the Lord. I taught it in tongues. Oh, Lord, we're messing up bad already. This is going to be an interesting night. How do you go from so amazing in worship to where we're at right now? Help, Lord. I was 6 months old in the Lord, but the Lord said, when you teach today, tell people they can have as much as of me as they want. And as much as you see in a man is as much as he's pursuing and wanting. And I went, whoa, is that like legit and fair to say? I mean, I'm thinking, that's powerful. And because I understand sometimes we need more understanding and we don't know what to pursue. But what the Lord was saying is hunger will take you there. And if you seek him, you'll find him. And if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So that was the first message he ever had me preach. I was 6 months saved. And my church asked me to teach a class that morning, and I was like, what? And I was laying on my bed, and I'm thinking, Lord, what, you know, and he just said, just tell them they can have as much as me as they want. That's pretty amazing. So I want to commend you guys, because worship time was amazing, and it wasn't just because these guys are incredible. It was class participation. There was a real corporate union of just pursuing and loving and worshiping in this room that was really incredible, wasn't it? It's very attractive to the Lord. Like, I looked around a little bit, man. I look back at you, Brian. You were just, it was just good, man. You were like, you were just on it. And there was people just sitting around, and they were just, and so, you know, I could have been called the distracted one, but I wasn't. I was enjoying and appreciating sincere hearts before the Lord. And I was like, man, no wonder the room's like it is right now. So thanks for the class participation. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trial, even in your body, I know we're going to talk about healing night. We're going to pray for the sick. You guys do this like every third Saturday?
Right.
Yeah. So, and that's this weekend then, huh? So you're not just doing this because I'm here and you just like roped me in for, this is the fourth Saturday. So you did rope me in, Dave. And then Pastor, bless his heart, he texted me and said, hey, since you're here and in town, what about Sunday morning? I said, might as well go for it. You got me on everything. No, I'm glad to be here. I just enjoyed that worship time. It's got me emotional right now. When you look around and see people believing him above everything else, loving him above everything else, you can't let life eat your lunch. You can't let what's going on dictate your heart, your perspective, your view, especially of him. Amen. So there's something, I'm not even going to talk to you that long tonight. We're going to get praying for the sick here in a little bit. And I know you don't believe I'm not going to talk to you long, but I'm not. I really not. It's not because I'm talked out. I don't think that's possible. This is very important. Let's make sure that what we believe about God, we found through the life of Jesus Christ. That we don't have a belief about God that life taught us, but that he taught us. Trying to find the definition of God through the way life unfolds is very dangerous, misleading, and deceptive. You can get rational the way that seemeth right to a man. You can get logical. You can get analytical. And you can weigh God by the way life unfolds. And a lot of people do it all the time and think nothing of it. They say, well, obviously God this because of this and this and this. But if you can't find that unfolding in scenario through Jesus or scripture, that's not just interpret God through the way life unfolded. Because honestly, we already know enough that we need to know about God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He settled it. He said, when you see me, you have seen the Father. It says in Hebrews that in former days, God spoke to the fathers through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken. Now, I understand God still speaks and ministers to us through His Word, personally, intimately, through the person of the Holy Spirit. I understand that. But God has made a statement. When I hear God has spoken, God has said, ta-da, through His Son. This is me. This is who I am. This is what I do. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ that we find Him. Amen? So I want to look to the life of Jesus. I want to see how He functioned. I want to see how He handled situations. I want to see what He did. When healing's involved, it's a very difficult topic. It causes a lot of fights and wars. It causes a lot of tension in families. The topic of healing. Because we're sentimental, we try to protect each other. We're afraid people are going off on the deep end, going to get their hopes up and get their heart broke. And all of a sudden, we're called to believe and we're almost afraid to get out there and believe because we're afraid of what might or might not happen. And we start trying in sentiment to protect each other instead of just surrender and sell out and just go for God and go for what's possible. Listen, my mother was sick for a very long time. Most of it, I wasn't saved. The tail end, I was. I still watched her pass. I'm the one that did her funeral. It's very real. We lost a few friends along the way. Lost a couple people from this house along the way. I'm not happy about that. I'm not cool about that. But it doesn't change tenacity of faith and belief because when I look at my Bible, it hasn't changed. None of the passings of my family or friends have changed Scripture. Scripture has never rewritten. It's never changed. When I open the book, Jesus' life is the same. I could pray for 16 people and see them die, and it still says, lay my hands on the sick and believe. It still says, if you're sick, call the elders of the church and have them pray the prayer of faith over you, anointing you with oil. And the prayer of faith, not the prayer of protocol. We're not just going through the motions. We're not just cracking the oil and following what the word says and saying, okay, God, we did our part, do yours. No, it's the prayer of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for when, so when your family says don't get your hope up, they don't even understand what they're saying because faith comes through hope. You have to have hope if you're even going to find faith. Faith is the substance of your hope. So if somebody's taken away your hope, you're not even going to find faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the knowing of something you haven't seen yet. Where does that come from? Understanding God absolutely loves you or He did never send His Son. That's as simple as I can keep it for you tonight. I want you to keep it that simple in your life. See, we're looking for miracles in our lives and we're looking for the dead to be raised. And we get pretty like rah-rah sometimes in our language. But this makes sure we're not in a group that's still struggling to just not be condemned or not believe that God loves us so that we're not forgiven. There's like a way that our mind tends to work. Where all of a sudden the things that are absolute and given through Scripture, we're still wrestling with. Let's just make sure we don't wrestle with any of those things because faith worketh through love. If love's in question, faith is a hard thing to find. If you're looking at your physical situation and saying, why haven't I been healed yet? Man, I thought God loved me. You don't find the love of God or the fact that God loves you or doesn't love you through the fact of whether you were healed or not. You find the fact that God absolutely does love you through Christ crucified. Christ crucified is the barometer and the measuring stick of God loving you. If that wasn't true, you could never be rooted and grounded in love. If the love of God was subject to change through the circumstances of life, you could never be rooted and grounded. It is good. It'll help you when your mama dies. It'll help you when your friend dies. And it'll help you to not get sentimental and draw conclusions and just get analytical and come up with theology along the way. And it'll keep you in the race and it'll keep you in the fight. Yeah? Because honestly, and this isn't a cop-out and a sell-out, watch this. And the truth is, in a believing Christian, we've never can lose. We won already. I wish we could really get that. I'm not criticizing you right now. I know there's a little, yeah, rah in the room, and I hope you're seeing that rah and yeah, because the truth is you can't lose. There ain't one of us in here ever going to die. So let's not make it about death and the fear of death and the sentiment of loss. And I understand there's a reality in loss. I'm not, my mama's not here, guys. I get it all. We all, come on, I'm 59. I know what loss is. I get it. I'm not trying to be super spiritual and say, hey, it's all okay. There's a time you weep because you can't see the person you love, but you don't grieve as if you have no hope. because Jesus died and he opened the door for everlasting life. And our loved ones that were believers that passed on before us are A-okay beyond our description. And if they could come back and talk to us, they'd be pretty inspiring. And we're weeping and they're like, what are you crying for? Go tear it up and live the gospel. Yeah? I'm just telling you, I believe that with all my heart. I remember 2 weeks after my mama passed, I was driving and my schedule was a little, and I had a couple things I had to do, and I looked at my clock on my truck and I said, oh my goodness, I got time to swing in and see mom quick. Yeah, did you? Oh, yeah. I turned on her road and it hit me while I was on her road. It didn't hit me till I was on her road that she's not there. But it wasn't time to just pull over and boo-hoo and, oh, God, I forgot she's gone. You know what I did? I went, duh. And I chuckled in my car out loud and said something like, oh, my goodness, Lord, how silly. I'm going to see her and she's with you. She'd probably rather see you anyway. And then I started to reminisce my mother, not to put me in depression and not to make me cry all day. I started to glean from the things she taught me, how she handled her life in the midst of the sickness, how she refused to complain and never let her sickness become her because she knew she was a daughter before she had MS. She wasn't going to wear the cloak of sickness. She was going to shine. And even if she couldn't walk for 15 years and get out of bed, she was going to shine, be loving, be sweet, and be kind. She said, okay, if I can't get out and walk and do this or that, anybody that comes near me, I'm just going to be what I'm called to be. And I ain't a woman with MS. I'm a woman with the Spirit of God and the Kingdom of God, and I'm going to love. And my mom taught me that. She taught me that you could be in a situation as extreme as hers. And when you looked at it, it was not good looking and fun. She's going in the bathroom in a bag. She's getting fed by a bag, and she needs a lot of help. And you'd walk in and she'd meet you with the sweetest smile. And I'd say, hey, mom. And she'd say, well, hi. Say, how are you, mom? Well, I'm fine. How are you? I remember a nurse one time saying, Kay, you need to learn how to vent now and then and just express your frustrations. And she said, well, why would I do that? What would that accomplish? Whew. Oh, my goodness. A woman that was sick for 40 years, when she passed, 15 years of it was in bed. When she passed, I pulled in to do her funeral. I did my mother's funeral. I pulled in the cemetery to do her funeral. And I thought in my mind, I knew who would be there. I already had it figured, counted, very small gathering. I had it all figured in my head who would be there. And when I pulled in the cemetery, there was no way I could get up to the graveside because it was double parked the whole way up and around the hill. And I said, oh, wow. And I just began to cry and cry and cry and said, how can this many people be here? I didn't even know she knew that many people. It was friends, people that just prayed for her, that knew her. There were care workers. There were several doctors. Guys, that's unheard of. Your doctors don't come to your funeral. They're too busy. People die on them every day. There was several nurses and care workers. And I got to do her funeral. And I lifted my voice and said, I know why you're all here. Because you honored her and thought she was one in a million, an enigma. And you might never meet anyone like her again in your life. And you felt like you had to honor the person she was. And all them nurses, what? It was so easy. I just, it was easy. They were sitting ducks, man. I talked about mom being selfless, how she lost her ability to complain in the understanding of her faith, and how she knew that no matter how limited it seemed like she wasn't going to live limited this way. Man, you got to honor something like it. Doesn't mean we gave up on healing. Doesn't mean we didn't believe in healing. My mom would quote scripture. I would lay hands on her and pray. It was probably the biggest challenge of my Christian life, praying for my mama, just learning and growing and feeling all the stuff we all feel at times. Sometimes I felt like I was just going through the motions. Sometimes I actually felt religious. Sometimes I would say, I can't even pray right now because it feels like I'm just, and then I'd make myself pray. And I just went through a lot. It was my mom. And I was growing and I was seeing some things happen in my life and I was seeing healings. And there's my mom. I was in a service in Hanover and two ladies with symptoms of MS and obvious impairment from MS at an altar. I forget that little church right there on 116. It's a car lot now. Right there at 116 at, you know what I mean? The white picket fence and yeah, across the road. Oh, I forget the name of that church, but I was there. Two people with MS right there at the altar, and we got to praying for them, and all their symptoms left, and they sobbed and cried, and their family members were crying. They were moving things that couldn't move, doing things they couldn't do. It was beautiful. If I'm hurt, if I'm hard, if I'm angry about mom, if I got a million questions for God, I'm in no position to even be in the position I'm in. My mom is laying somewhere. These ladies are celebrating and have no symptoms of the very sickness she's laying somewhere with. So you know what I did? I said, you know how we think? Woo! Got a breakthrough in this MS thing. Oh, river's flowing now. I didn't let nobody touch me. I just backed out there. I said, I'm leaving. I gotta go. And they said, where you go? I gotta go. I'm gonna go lay hands on my mom. I jumped in my car and drove the whole way to where my mom was on the heels of two ladies up front. I went in and I ran into mom. I said, hi, mom. I just came. I need to lay hands on you. I want to pray. Okay. Father, I thank you. I prayed. And mom just lays there. Oh, that was nice. Thank you. Don't tell me I don't understand the stuff that tries to rage and come on you and the stuff that tries to make you go bonkers. I'm just telling you, I've seen too many people let this happen. Then they go bonkers and they lose their relationship, their fellowship, their hope, their faith. And the best we try to do is protect our moment for the moment. Man, I thought I already died and surrendered my life for His namesake and His glory. I don't even want to reserve the right to be a mess. When mama dies, I have no right to fall apart. Doesn't mean I don't miss her. I don't even have the right to fall apart. My life's not even my own anymore. So I'm just being relevant and real to you. I left the church and drove to mama. Boom, thinking we got a breakthrough, baby. I saw two people that were blind in one day get their sight years ago in York. And I started driving around looking for people blind. And the next five people I prayed for, nothing changed. Come on, that stuff tries to make you go bonkers. And then we try to analyze it and create theology. Well, God heals some, doesn't heal all. I never saw Jesus lay his hands on somebody and say, oops, sorry. I guess it's just not your time. I guess it's just not your God's will. I never saw Jesus do that. So just because it makes sense to men doesn't mean it's true. And when you believe that kind of stuff, I see what it produces in us. And it puts us in a spiritual law. And there's no aggression. There's no faith. There's no forward motion. There's not even any hope. And we're trying to survive in our moment. And nobody's doing well trying to survive. You guys okay? Just being real and trying to relate. Three or so months after Mama passed, I was in a church preaching, and the pastor said, can you talk a little about healing? And I said, well, we can, yeah. And he said, well, take your liberty, have your freedom, but I just feel like you should talk a little about healing tonight. And I said, okay. So I poured out my heart and stuff and talked about healing a little bit, and this tenacity and this aggression came on me, and there were some people kind of getting taken back by it because they had a lot of ongoing situations and things. And all of a sudden the Lord said, talk about your mom. So I talked about my mom. I was 3 months in this fresh, 3 months ago, right? Something like that. I don't think it was a total four. It might have been close, but it was somewhere in there. And in my aggression, I started telling about my mom. The whole room was dead silent, and you could feel the humility in the room. They're like, wow, this guy wasn't like popping off. Like, you couldn't tell he just lost his mom to sickness the way he's preaching. Like, they're getting the impression. We get the impression when people talk about healing that everybody ever touched just jumps up and shouts hallelujah. I've never preached that. I want that. Where do I see that? He said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. You know what? We just throw our belief away all the time. We surrender and sell our belief all the time. Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do if you believe. And we find reasons not to believe everything he's saying. And we think we're protecting ourselves and our loved ones. Are you guys okay? I hope so, because I'm not feeling too good right now. I'm like, no, I'm okay. I'm in this service. I start talking about mom, and then I said, see, you couldn't tell. You didn't know. And they're like, no, because I was just as aggressive. I believe just as much as I always felt like I believed, but I want to see more. I want to see it clear. I don't want the same result. I won't change. And I made this comment, and I said, and I'm going to tell you what, people, there's a component of humility here. There's something about surrender, about not being wise in your own opinion. I said, because my mama died, and I didn't see that victory in her life, but I won't change my mind about what I believe. I will see somebody else's mama live. And that's what I said. And when I said that, this little girl started screaming back in the corner, and the place was crowded, and they were standing in the back, and there was nowhere to sit the people that showed up. There was a lot of people in the back standing, and I couldn't even really see the little girl. I could kind of see her. She was a really little girl. She was only 14, but she looked 11. She was little. And she's screaming and crying, and she's standing beside her mom in a wheelchair who has serious MS. And I had just made that comment. And I said, what's going on back there? Why is she screaming and crying? They said, this lady, she has MS. I said, are you serious? Get her up here. So I got two ladies to start praying for her as I was teaching some things. And they're over there praying, and she's sitting there, and her little girl is crying. Why is her little girl crying? Because her daddy's dead. And they said that her mommy's probably going to die. And she's thinking, I'm going to be all alone, and she's 14. And it's real. It's really real. So I walked over and we started talking, what's going on? And she just kind of said, I can't move my right side. My mom was her left side. It was just one of them beautiful things. I made this declaration. Because my mom died, somebody else's mom's going to live. It was the Lord. You don't heal nobody. You don't heal anybody. You just believe. You put yourself in the position for God to do what he does. At best, you lay hands on somebody with simple faith. Sometimes you see and make a declaration. I just said it, and there she sat. And she said, I can't move this side. I said, yeah, my mama, here it was her other side. I said, when's the last time you moved any of that? She said, 5 years. Haven't moved for 5 years. And I said, okay, so I want you to just move your leg for me. It was just a beautiful moment. She looked at me like, duh. I just told you I haven't. And I said, just try to move your leg for me. Would you move your leg for me? She lifts her leg and her leg starts to move. Her daughter goes, and the lady swore. It was that funny. Cause she went, as soon as she swore, people know, but they're living in a certain place. But they're at church and they're hoping God shows up, but they live in a certain place. All she knew, all she had in her was, and she went, as soon as she swore, she went, like, I just swore in church. Maybe even the presence of the Lord. And I gently smiled and I said, it's okay, honey. It hasn't stopped the thing. Jesus really, really loves you. Now, a lot of people would disagree and tell me I should have threw her out of her wheelchair onto the altar to repent and get cleansed of her sin. And get her clean and then sit her back up in the chair to see if God's still willing to pick up where he left off. I just laughed and said, it's not going to stop a thing. I said, keep moving your leg. She moved her leg. Next thing you know, faith hit her heart. And all of a sudden, she started moving her arm. She started moving her elbow. We watched her get up and walk. It's just one of them beautiful moments. I haven't seen that a whole lot in my life where somebody was paralyzed and couldn't walk and they got up and walked. I haven't seen it a whole lot. A handful of times. I've been saved a long time. I've prayed for a lot of sick people, but I know it can happen. And I know that faith is the substance of things hoped for, so I certainly ain't thrown away my hope. If the just live by, and it's impossible to please God without, I sure ain't gonna throw away my hope when mama dies. I sure ain't gonna throw away my hope when Dale dies. That one's still on my mind. Every once in a while that hits me. Yeah? Hits you guys. See, I could cry just because I went over to Dale so many times and I was laying on my bed crying when he died. I said, Lord, would you father me? He said, Dan, you're so zealous and you're so aggressive and you're over there rah, 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 and praying. He said, every time you're praying, you're all you're doing, you're just motivated by the fear of death because you're saying, here we go again. And all your tenacity is coming from the fact that you believe you see him dying. That's amazing that God will father you like that if you sit and ask him. And I went, man. That lady, she walked around. She went to the bathroom by herself. She came out. She was crying. It was a pretty fun moment, guys. Haven't seen that a whole lot. I've seen three people paralyzed in public. I've seen them walk and get out of their wheelchairs. One on the porch of a Bob Evans, one on a sidewalk in Everett, Washington, and one at the door of Walmart. I've prayed for a lot, but I saw those three get up. I know he does it, and I'm not just going to become the theologian that gets analytical and starts deciding the ins and outs and the hows and the whys. When I open my Bible, there's a sign that follows a believer. The fact that we don't aggressively lay our hands on the sick tells us all that we don't believe like we could, because if we did, we'd be getting our hands on people a lot. Yeah? Wouldn't we? Come on, be real with me. The sign follows those who what? Doesn't say the gifted. Says the believer. And I promise you, everything is out to dictate your believer. There's little voices, mindsets, rationales. There's so many things that are out to determine what you believe. And who's the author and the finisher of our faith? So if you're not finding what you believe through Jesus, I would say we're being deceived. If he's the author and he's the finisher. Yeah? Come on, is that fair? You want to see something in Hebrews 2? I'm sure it's still there. I hope. I haven't read it actually for a little while, so. Oh, it's here. And it says the same thing as the last time I read it, Marilyn. This is good. Yay for you, God. He says in chapter 2, verse 6, what is man? What is man? What's up with man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man that you would take care of him? This is the psalmist, man. He's asking a question. He's perplexed. He says, you make him a little lower than the angels. You've crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands, and you put all things in subjection under his feet. All things. Look, he's not just talking about sickness and disease. He's just all things. He's talking about elements, the earth. He's talking about the fear of death. Well, it's actually in this chapter that he says he's the end of the fear of death for us. Pastor, help me. Isn't it in this chapter? Yeah. Ha ha. Look at this. This is amazing. Verse 14, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. That through death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their life subject to bondage. It's right here in this chapter. And yet we're afraid of death. And sometimes the only reason we pray is because we're fear of death. We take on the identity of the diagnosis. We panic and we try to find a promise that relates to our experience, hoping to get a breakthrough. Come on, we do it all the time. I'm convinced of this, that a church of 1,000 can fast and pray because they don't want Sister Sally to die. That's a no-brainer. We don't want her to die. She's the sweetest thing that ever lived, and we're wondering why she's the one that's sick. People are thinking, why isn't it me? Because she's the sweetest thing that ever lived. I mean, flowers aren't even in season, and they bloom when she walks by. She's just the Jesus lady. And she's dying. And we're all fasting and praying because the last thing we want is Sister Sally to die. And you, a church of 1,000 could just keep praying and fasting because of the fear of death and the sentimental loss of Sally. Peg, I mentioned Dale. I didn't even see you there. It still gets me now and then, girl. Yeah, that's Dale's wife sitting right here. And you ought to see the smile I'm looking at. I mean, that doesn't mean it's been easy. But there's a lady that won't change her mind about certain things she believes. She's in this thing for keeps. It's called eternity. Yeah, well, that'll make your hair stand up. Whoa. Yeah, just seeing your smile does me good. I'm talking about Dale. I didn't even see Peg there. I'm like, oop, you're right there. You caught me. So if we get Peg up, I'm not going to embarrass her, but I get her up here and interview. It's not been easy. There's times she misses him. It still comes on her, I bet, and it's been a while. 13 years, and I'm still talking about it. Stuff's real. And yet in our hearts, we know there's a place to touch him and see him whole. And since Dale, we've seen a whole lot of things change and people get healed. We're just not asking so many questions that it clouds the things our hearts know. Because sometimes you just don't have answers for those questions. So we ought to just settle on what we know through the life of Jesus and bypass those questions. Yeah, because if you think you have to answer them and they start costing you what you know, I think we're in trouble. Let me get back to this because this is really good. This is a powerful chapter. So you just learned that he's the end of the fear of bondage of death, and the fear of the bondage of death has been in our lives, our whole lives, and it's not supposed to be in our lives anymore because we're saved. You get it? So it's not, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. It's, oh my gosh, I'm going to live forever. Like, look, I'm not expecting this. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom. I could be going home today. Let's just say I'm going home today, and all of a sudden you get a report that something crazy happened. And there was some kind of T-bone thing or something. And oh my goodness, Dan was instantly killed. Dan is not dead. And hopefully you say you love me and you'd miss me and all that. But don't you cry. Don't you get in a tizzy. Don't you say, now, why would God let that happen? That man was doing a work for the Lord. He was traveling and he was... And others would say, well, the Lord took him out. Told ya! Lord couldn't take him anymore. Shut him down. So see how all that theology could come out of an incident? And all of a sudden people are writing scripture, they think, through an incident because they're accessing it through analogy. So the people that don't agree with my preaching, that's pretty easy. Judgment came on the boy. He wouldn't change. We done all them videos and said he was a heretic. God just took him out just like he took out Herod. He could be glad it was a car wreck and not worms from the inside out. God had mercy on that man. Ida gave him worms. But then there's other Christians that believe what I'm preaching, and they've loved me or followed me or whatever. And then they could run the risk of, why would you let that happen? God, why would you allow that? And all of a sudden you find yourself stymied in some way and less zealous and less in love. And now you're in a quandary instead of in a revelation. Ain't that something? So you're not going to get a report like that. But if you would, just thank God for the blood of Jesus that kept my life forever. Yeah? Yeah. And run well. and go after God and don't take a step backwards. So he put all things, how many things in subjection under our feet? Uh-oh, watch this. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing. Say nothing with me. He left what? Nothing that is not put under man. Huh. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. Anybody get that? Do you see every mountain you tell to bow, bow? Do you ever see every mountain you say to move, move? Now, some people could say he's simply talking about death here. He already said he has victory over death, and he already took the power of death from the devil. We don't have any bondage or fear of death, so he can't be talking just about death here. Is everything you're praying coming to pass? Is everybody you prayed for healing scripturally jumped up and shouted hallelujah healed? Has all things been put in subjection under our feet? Scripturally. Yet we don't see all things in subjection under our feet. But look at the next words. But we see. So what's he telling you to do? Keep your eyes where? On Jesus. And not get in a quandary. And not draw back. Because when you draw back, it's certain destruction. When you step forward believing, it's to the saving of the soul. Are you with me? Come on. This touchy stuff, man. People get mad and angry over this. I just talk plain because I've lost people too. So I'm not being arrogant. I'm being relatable. It's not like I'm standing up here walking on the clouds and ain't ever had any hardship or anybody die that I care about. Yeah? Yeah. That's my cousin. That's my cousin. Now, he looked better than that. But that's my cousin. I was that far from him when he got hit by a car going 70 mile an hour and killed in front of my eyes. And he flew in the air from here to the back wall, if I could be graphic, and probably slid that far down the road. It was the most incredible, unbelievable, horrible thing you think you could ever see. If I let that determine my view of God, I'm hard. I'm angry. I don't want to hear nothing about him. And if he's going to allow my cousin to get killed, he can just whatever. Forgetting that he's the author and giver of life. We wouldn't be on the earth if it wasn't for him. And all of a sudden we're coveting life instead of coveting the giver of it. And all of a sudden we want everything he gave us more than we want him. And all of a sudden we reduce him to our needs meter or our genie in a bottle or our wish maker. God didn't kill my cousin. Some theology says, well, he allowed it. Maybe he didn't allow it. Maybe we as a family aren't even serving him in that season. Maybe nobody's praying. Maybe we're speaking death. Maybe we're living in fear. Maybe we're reaping things we sow. Yeah? Come on, this isn't condemnation, it's just sobering. I don't know about you, but I didn't grow up in some spirit-filled, amazing house that everything was just lined up and they were walking in Jesus all the time. Maybe you did, but I didn't. But it's amazing how even people that say they don't believe in God, when hardship comes, he's the problem. That's the fall of man that does that. That's arrogance, deception. That's the pride of humanity apart from truth. When he's the only one truly good. He sent his son to redeem this whole mess, and we're still judging him. Come on. Please, please, please get a real good attitude tonight and hold on to it and never let it go, no matter what you're experiencing in your life. Yeah? Okay. Man, I wasn't going here. No, it's just good to be personal sometimes. people that know me, people that are friends that know me, know that I'm a pretty blessed man when it comes to physical health, right? I'm pretty lively. I don't have stuff going on. I don't deal with sickness. I have a certain way I live and think that's just beautiful to me. It's zero fear. I mean, I'd lay hands on a leper in a heartbeat and wouldn't even think twice. It just wouldn't faze me. There's just stuff. I could roll in poison ivy just wearing boxers and just be totally okay. Whoever went, woo, just never saw me in boxers. Who's ever told me, who's ever hear me talk about how blessed my eyes are, my vision, and how I'm thankful for my eyes all the time that watches YouTube or anything? You ever hear me talk about that? I'd be shocked right now if my eyes aren't 20/20. If I did a test and wasn't 20/20, I'd be very surprised. I just don't have a grid for a lot of things like aging and all that stuff. I'm just believing God for things. And that's not to put pressure. I'm just making a point here. I've walked in a very special, blessed place. So when you walk in that place, people don't understand the paradox. When something does happen, it's designed to throw you for a loop and create all kind of questions because of the latter. Did you follow me? So on March 11th, I get up in the morning and I notice something weird in my right eye. I noticed like this, it's black. There's this thing. There's stuff going on. I'm not in, I don't Google nothing. Don't go Googling my symptoms and then emailing me. Stop. You know what people do? They get a symptom and they Google it. They don't even connect with Jesus. They just Google. I mean, Google's like Lord, but he doesn't produce the kingdom. And you Google, and then you click here, and if this is, and then you click here, and after four clicks, you're already half dead. You're freaked out and afraid, and you're calling a friend for prayer. And then you call prayer faith, because you think prayer is faith. Well, this thing happened, and it's this weird thing, and it was just in my right eye, and it lasted for a couple weeks. And then I was on a turkey hunting trip, and I had shot three turkeys with my bow. Three arrows, big arrows. If you don't like hunting, bear with me. Three arrows, three dead turkeys, baby. Butter balls in the freezer. Thank you, Jesus. So then I drive down to South Carolina, and I wake up, and I got 2 days there before the season, and all of a sudden, my left eye looks like my right eye. And now it's both eyes. And there's something weird, and I can't really describe it, and I'm not going to go into details of symptoms because people will Google it. But I just live different, and I'm not telling you to live the way I live. I just believe God. My life's in His hands. I surrender my life to Him. Not against doctors. There's just a mindset out there that I stay away from. There's things that people say and think and do that I'm just saying, I'm not against you, and you can still do them and have faith, but if my faith's where it is, just back off, leave me alone. We'll walk this thing through. But it got serious, Dave. You don't even know this. I got in South Carolina and I had this shot at a turkey. Now I was using my bow in Georgia. So shooting a turkey with a bow is a little more challenging than shooting one with a shotgun. Right? Shooting a turkey with a shotgun's pretty easy. But this big old turkey came in and I shot and I missed him. And my pastor friend goes, "What?" And the turkey starts running. I shot and missed him again. He said, "What is going on?" He's talking out loud. "What? What is going on?" I shot the third time and I got the turkey. But I had to kind of run him down. It was bad. All things in subjection. I was screaming, "Die!" No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Don't leave. Just bear with me. Let me have fun. So my eyes have these symptoms going on and I go down to West Virginia for a turkey hunting trip just this past weekend. I caught in 19 turkeys. I shot at six to get one. I would shoot and they acted like I didn't even shoot. They would be like just, and then I'd shoot and they were like, And I was freaking out. I'm freaking out. I'm talking 25, 28 yards with the shotgun. You hunters know what I'm talking about. You don't, you shoot 100 for 100. And I'm shooting, they're just, and they're laughing. So whatever's been going on with my eyes, I go to the house and I'm like, I need to draw up some targets. Something's gotta happen. I drew up targets, put a little circle like that, and at 25 yards, completely missing the target. Shooting 12 inches high. So whatever was going on with my eyes, where I'm looking, I'm not looking. It's an illusion. Where I think I'm aiming somewhere else. So I just got home from that trip. So I'm just in faith for my eyes. Because that many turkeys can't keep getting away. Jesus gonna move on my eyes. Some turkeys gotta go in my freezer. I'm just having fun with the turkey part. I can't even tell you when I have challenges physically. If you don't understand what I'm saying and you're not passionate about it, just something like that could go, well, how come? Well, why? Well, if I understand, then why would, what's God trying to show me? He's not playing charades with me. He already showed me he loves me. And he already showed me the way and the truth through the life. So I'm just in position for my eyes to be restored, and I haven't shot my gun since I got home. I had some friends lay hands on me and pray. I did yesterday. I didn't have much time, but yesterday I got my bow out and I shot. Because you close your eye and you shoot, and it'd be like shooting a gun. And I was hitting dead center bullseye like the men's conference. So I'm trusting that when I shoot my shotgun, everything will be fine. I still see some funny things at times. But when that happens, I just thank you, God. Your love is just amazing. Zero fear, not concern, not going blind, I don't go there. That's why I'm not Googling. Y'all all right? So I'm just telling you something personal. Cost me 5 turkeys. 5. I shot, Dave, it's not a joke, I shot 11 shells to get one. And you might think I'm boasting, but I'm not a bad shot with a shotgun. We don't see all things in subjection under his feet. See, people that know me, personal friends that know me and know my life and my revelation and my heart and how I live every day, they would get tempted in this story to say, well, now see, that's what I don't understand. Because you understand righteousness and you understand that you're forgiven and clean and free. And how can, if you have that righteousness, how can that get through and how can that mess? And then they start analyzing and getting 10 questions that I don't have the answer for you for. And then you let the 10 questions cloud over the things you said you knew before this story. Are you with me? Okay, I already went way longer than I thought I would. I'm going to, do I need to read it? Okay, I was just going to quote it. For some reason, it must help somebody if I read it. So who knows Jesus is loving like that? Matthew 9, you can look at Matthew 9, you can find this in Luke 5 as well. It's where Jesus heals the paralytic. It's phenomenal to me. I'll tell you what. Let's go to John 5 first, and then we'll jump back to Matthew 9. John 5, can you go to John 5? What's John 5 start with? The man healed at the pool of Bethesda. You gotta love this story. Like Jesus is on the earth. The mercy of God is on the earth through Jesus Christ. Men aren't saved yet. They're still guilty of their sins. And yet Jesus is healing everybody he touches. And everybody that comes to him is being healed. And he's not turning them away. And he's not saying, sorry, it's not the will of God. He's not laying hands on them and nothing happened. He go, oops, man, I don't know. God's probably trying to teach you something. Like all the stuff we say concerning healing, he never said. And you can't find it at all in his life, but somehow we're okay saying it. It's because of our lack of results and power and authority. So we have to come up with an explanation to make us feel better about what we're troubled over. But the problem is our explanation's at the cost of truth, and truth's what makes us free, so now we have a bigger problem. You all right? Because I'm just reading the Bible here, and there was this feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up there, and in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, had five porches. Great multitude. Some people say there was hundreds. Some people say there could have been thousands. I don't know how many is there, but it's a great multitude. I know that. And in there lay a great multitude of sick people, blind and lame and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. What's happening here? Jesus is on the earth, right? God in the old covenant and God through the Old Testament, you can see is Jehovah who? Rapha. God our healer. So this is just keeping Jehovah Rapha in front of the people. He's Jehovah Rapha, right? But yet everything is pointing to Jesus Christ, the one to come, and he happens to be on the earth. You have to understand now, Jesus is the stirred water. See, they all laid there waiting for the water to stir. And watch what happened. Let's just read. They all laid there, great multitude, and an angel went down at a certain time. A certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Now watch the language. Then whoever, so you can't find a limit in this. Whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever. God help me in unbelief, right? It's right here. Whoever was healed of. This is before the finished work, the blood, the cross, the resurrection, the greater covenant, greater glory. Whoever, whatever. Man. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity. How many years? Man, that's real. That's serious. Mom was 40. I get it. It's just going to be up on the board. We'll just might as well read it. Y'all can look because I keep thinking you're looking at angels or something. I get excited. I'm like, oh, they're looking past me. Okay. So a certain man was there. He had infirmity. How long?
3 years.
You can just scroll with me. When Jesus saw him lying there, boy, you think this guy would have been ticked, huh? He had no clue who Jesus was. You'll find that out in a minute. The guy is at the pool. He's got sickness. Jesus comes up to him and look what he says to him. You want to be made well? What do you think? That's what I think when I read this story, but Jesus isn't being a smart aleck. He's making a draw on this man. Because look what this man says. The guy doesn't get mad at his question. Do you know how many people in the church today would get offended at that question? Seriously, we don't realize that we're not really as humble sometimes as we think. Like if you're sick 38 years and Jesus says you want to be healed, what kind of idiotic question is that, sir? But Jesus asked it. And guess what the man said? Oh my goodness, watch. Oh, just make you cry. Sir, I have no man to put me into this pool when the water's stirred. But while I'm trying to get in there, while I'm coming, another steps in before me. The whoever isn't me. And whatever, they get healed, but it's never me because I have no one to help me. Jesus is just getting him to say, I ain't got nobody to help me. And what's Jesus saying by his answer? He doesn't say, I'm here to help you. Watch what he says. Jesus said to him, rise and take your bed and walk. Why? Because he's the Lord. He's the mercy of God on the earth. So what he's saying is, buddy, you don't understand. You got somebody to help you standing right in front of you. You're not alone. Take your bed, rise, and walk. Now watch. We always say, well, it takes faith to be healed. Well, especially the people praying for the sick. Let's stop putting the pressure on the people sick. They already have enough stuff going on. I want everybody in faith, but let's stop making the sick person have to have faith. Ooh, I can feel mixed on that. These signs follow those that they will lay their hands on the... So he ain't talking about the sick believing. He doesn't say those signs will follow those that are sick and understand God's will to heal them. Who knows, it's always good to pursue faith, teach faith, cultivate faith, and go after faith. But that's, Jesus never laid hands on somebody and it didn't happen. And he said, you know what? If you get more faith, this could happen. Don't you ever tell somebody that when you pray for them and nothing changes. Please. That's not cool. Watch. Take your bed and walk. And immediately, the man was made well. He took his bed and he walked. And that day was a Sabbath. Now, a lot of people say, well, see, Jesus doesn't want to heal everybody. He just heals certain people. It's the timing of God. It's the choice of God. It's the will of God. There was hundreds of people in them porches, or could have been thousands, and he only healed one man. Well, maybe we should probably read the rest of the story before we become theologians. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It's not lawful. Isn't this amazing? The guy is 38 years laying by a pool, maybe half that time. It doesn't say how long he was actually at the pool, but he was sick 38 years, but it sounded like he was at the pool for a while. And now these Jews are saying, we got a problem with the day that this guy told you to get up. Well, they didn't have a problem that he couldn't get in and had nobody to help him. None of them were willing to dip him in the pool. Nobody's willing to say, hey, guys, back out for a minute. The next time this stirs, we got to get this dude in here. He's been laying longer than any of you. Nobody's helping him. But as soon as he's healed, they got a problem with how it went down. Man, that kind of stuff is in the church today. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. He answered and said, he who made me well said to me, take your bed and walk. They said, who is this man who said to you, take your bed and walk? But the one who was healed didn't know who it was. For Jesus had withdrawn himself because of the multitude being in that place. Why did Jesus leave? Because they always want to make him natural king. He says, don't tell anybody what I did. Don't tell anybody what I did. What did they do? Yak, 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 yak. He's trying to keep the pressure down. They all want him to be natural king to overthrow the Romans. That wasn't the king he was to be. So he withdrew himself. What would have happened if the porches would have started going, Son of David, have mercy on us? That would have been something. You show me one place where that cried out and he didn't move. But watch this. The man who was healed. No, back up, please. Thank you. The one who was healed, what? He didn't even know who he was. How could he have faith? He's totally healed of 38 years of sickness. And when they said, who healed you? He said, I don't have a clue, dude, but I'm walking. This stuff's all in our Bible. I've got it up on the board so you can tell I ain't making it up. Did that man have faith? That man didn't even know what was happening. He didn't know who it was. He just didn't get offended when the question came. I'm amazed he didn't get offended. I think I'd have got offended. What do you mean, do I want to be healed? Why do you think I'm laying here at the pool? But he was getting that man to say, nobody's here to help me. There wasn't no other Jew putting him in. The Pharisees sure weren't going to come over and maybe get the robe wet. Man. Since you're doing so good with this thing, let's just close with this and we'll pray for the sick. Would you go to Matthew 9, verse 1 for me? Can you do that? Oh, you, man. Dude, that might have been faster than you today, buddy. Whew. Sorry. Who is that? Michelle. Woo! Look at her back there. All born again. Look at her. Light in her face. That's beautiful. Don't you hide behind that screen. You can't hide that. Okay. So he got in a boat, he crossed over, and he came to his own city. And then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed, and Jesus saw their faith. So in Luke, that's where they took the roof apart and lowered him down. So if you go to the extreme of tearing the roof apart to lower him down, you want your buddy healed. And Jesus saw their faith. He thought, man, because there wasn't no room. There was no way they could get that man in because of the thronging and the multitude. So these guys were like, man, let's get Harry up on the roof. We'll just lower him down in front of Jesus. We'll get him as close as we can. Could you imagine them guys? They're tearing off somebody's roof and they're lowering him down right beside Jesus. Jesus standing there talking to this guy. It's a radical story. And Jesus is like, dude. I mean, he saw their faith. He saw their faith and he said to the paralytic, look what he said to the paralytic. Jesus, you're amazing. I love you so much. Jesus said to the paralytic, son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Okay. We think that sounds amazing. But if you just lowered him down through the roof, what are you doing that for? To him to be what? So Jesus says, take heart, your sins are forgiven. What do you think them guys are tempted to think? Okay. How about healing him? Some of the Pharisees were indignant in their hearts saying, who's this man think he is? He's blaspheming. Who is he to say his sins are forgiven? Right? Oh, you might as well show it. Some of the scribes, that's right. See, I'm telling the truth. It's in your Bible. It's not in my made up notes. Some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes. You can just roll with me, Michelle. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, what? Why do you think evil in your hearts? Now you got to get this. For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins. Go ahead, get up and walk. Take your bed and go to your house. What's he saying? To be forgiven is to be healed. There's no way around it. You can argue till you're blue in the face with me. The Bible teaches this stuff. To be forgiven is to be healed. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all is within me. Bless his holy name. Don't forget his benefits. He forgives all my sin, and he heals all my disease. He bore your sin, 1 Peter 2. He bore your sin and my sin in his body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes we are, or were, healed. What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, arise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has the power to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. Next verse. And he arose and departed to his house. That's incredible. We're supposed to be ambassadors. Let me just read something to you. Just bear with me. I sure didn't mean to talk this long. I never mean to talk this long. So I always have an excuse. We talked about this, all things are of God, in the men's meeting today. All things are of God. If there's anybody in Christ, he's a what? New creation. Old things pass away and what? All things become new, and the all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, who has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. He has committed to us that same word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Isn't that amazing? He bore our sin, and my sin, and your sin in his body and tree, that we, having died to sin, might become, might live for righteousness, and by his stripes we are healed. Last little thought, I'll teach it out quick because it's on my heart. We won't have to go out, save time. In John 3, Jesus said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, even as, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. The serpent on the pole is still the symbol for the medical field today. Did you ever get that and see that? The snake on the pole? Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall, same as, so shall. Okay, what's that mean? Just signifying the death he would die. So you can stop right there and say, okay, means he's going to be hanged on the cross. But when you look at the story, he's saying so much more. These Hebrew people were getting bitten by these things. And they were dying by the thousands. And it was an effect of direct sin. And they were crying out to Moses, would you plead to God and tell him we're sorry, that he would relent, that he would come and remove this thing, that they wouldn't bite us and kill us anymore. Because people were getting bitten and dying by the thousands. It was like a fiery serpent. It's all a crazy story. So God is there. Moses goes to God in the tent of meeting, I guess. He goes and gets alone with God. And he says, hey, the people are crying out, man. They're really sorry. Blew it again. They're asking if you'd forgive them and remove this thing. He said, I'll tell you what you do, Moses. You, Leviticus says to not make a graven image and all this stuff. It's kind of amazing. God said, I was reading this a long time ago, guys, like 25 years ago. I'm on my bed and I'm going, I don't understand this. He said, I'll tell you what you do, Moses. You go make a replica of what's biting them. You make a bronze serpent. You melt down bronze. You make a serpent out of bronze. And you hang it on a pole. And it'll be that anyone that was bitten shall be healed. And I'm like, why would you make a replica of a fiery serpent? Why wouldn't you lift up Aaron's rod that buds? Why wouldn't you wave a flag that says Yah? Why wouldn't you just hold up the Ark of the Covenant? The tablets? What? Why would you make a serpent and put it on a pole and hang it before the people? Because of the Levitical law. Anything hanging on a pole has been cursed by God. So they lift up the serpent on the pole, and those Israelites said, God heard Moses' prayer. He cursed the thing. It'll no longer have dominion over us. And it was instantly that anyone that looked at the serpent that was bitten was healed immediately. So did God curse his son on the cross, or did he curse sin in the flesh? God cursed sin in the flesh. And sin shall have no dominion over you, for the law of the Spirit of life through Jesus Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. He doesn't want you to see a suffering Savior. He wants you to see sin cursed on the cross. And when you look at the Savior who was made to be sin, who knew no sin and was made to be sin, it says that the people in Israel, they looked and saw the serpent on a pole, and anyone that was bitten was instantly healed. Forgiven, healed. Old Testament. Even as, so shall the Son of Man. We get sentimental and look at a suffering Savior. We get sentimental and look at Jesus all beat up and feel bad because our sin put him there. Come on. And we miss the whole point. Instead of going, oh my goodness, God, you just cursed sin in the flesh. Jesus, amazing what you just did. You became what I was so I could be absolutely delivered, redeemed, and restored. My Redeemer lives. Faith should rise in our heart. He forgives our sin and he heals our diseases. This is so scriptural that we ought to camp there until we see the fruit of it and never, ever, ever change our mind. Did I cry when Dale died? Did Peg cry? Yep. Does it change the truth? Nope. Do we still miss people that we lost? And do we still wish we'd have got a different result? Yeah, that sure comes on our minds. But do we grow weary in well-doing and stop believing? Do we blame God and get mad at God? Do we try to protect others from believing? We're going to pray for the sick tonight. You know what? You're going to help me. Little buddy sitting up here going. He prayed for a guy today. He come run over to me and he said, "This was awesome." I said, "What happened? You prayed for somebody?" "Yeah. Yeah, we prayed. He was like 50%. And so we prayed one more time for 5 seconds. He said, "I seen you do that 5 second thing on YouTube. I always wanted to do that 5 second thing." He's so excited. But he's marked. He's excited. And he said, "So we just prayed 5 more seconds. He completely bent down, come up, and it was bad. It was fine." And I'm like, "Awesome, dude." "Yeah? Yeah, he's sitting right here." And he was like, "This is awesome." We had a man this morning still wearing his hospital bracelet because he was in the hospital because of pain and stuff last night. He didn't snip the thing off. I think he told me he was in there last night. Urgent care, whatever. Today he came not thinking he could stay and bear it. Is he here? Maybe he's not even here anymore. He was here for the men's conference and we had him come and testify. So while I was preaching my great message this morning, he had to get up and leave and go out and pace around. He couldn't, he said it was excruciating, almost unbearable level pain. And he was like, "I can't do this. I can't stay. I can't sit. I can't do this. I got to keep moving." And he said it was like the Lord was like, "Just go back in. Just go back in and be prayed for." Somebody prayed for him for 5 seconds. And he was like, "Whoa." He, even when he told the testimony, "Could you hear there wasn't any faith?" He was like, "Wait a minute. This can't be." Isn't that how he told the story? And he's like, "So I was like, what?" So he told me in the foyer, he said, after lunch, he said, "Hey, I got to tell you." He said, "And I've been trying to find it a lot. And I'm just looking for it. And it's just not there." I said, "Would you share that with the guys?" He said, "Yeah." Listen, I think Jesus is just excited if we'll step out and believe for each other. Just throw away all the apprehensions, hindrances, questions. Listen, I got so many testimony stories in my mind. I got a guy that stepped out and prayed for a friend because he was coming to services like this. We were doing them weekly in 4 different locations for 2.5 years. And he would come and listen. And one day he was at lunch and his coworker was there and he was talking about how bad pain was. And he said, "Man, can I do something? Listen, don't think I'm weird, man. But I've been going listening to these guys and it seems like stuff's happening. It's legit and I haven't gotten involved. I'm just listening. But they've been praying for people and things are changing. And look, we ain't got nothing to lose. Can I just pray and see if the pain goes away?" He said, "What? Yeah, can I just?" He said, "Well, I guess. Okay." Guy doesn't know much what to pray. He's nervous. He's like just doing it because it's conviction. So he prays whatever he prays. It might have been wrong. I kind of said that jokingly because there's no really wrong. You don't heal anybody. You don't put your confidence in your prayer. You don't try to sound spiritual and amplify the name of Jesus. Be healed in Jesus' name is plenty when there's a revelation. This guy prays and his coworker said, he said, "Well, they always say to test it, check it." He asked him his level of pain. He said, "Check it." He said, "Dude, I don't have any pain. I think it was all up through his hips and back and stuff." And he said, "What? No, seriously. Are you serious?" He goes, "Oh, I remember rolling out my chair when he told the testimony." I'm like, "God, you are so good." We think sometimes God's a legalist and we're doing like the priest going through the tabernacle and they got a rope tied to him and one little thing, he's dead. And we're like, "Oh, well, we just blew the guy's healing. I misspoke. I mispronounced the word." The guy goes, "Huh? Are you serious?" "No, you're messing with me." He says, "No, look at this. Oh my goodness, there's no pain at all." The guy that prayed said, "Oh my goodness, you're healed." Now, how sweet is that? That should make us all feel encouraged. Yeah? So let's do this tonight. We're not going to have any music. Usually when I travel, I do this and I try to make the room as dry as I possibly can. I do it on purpose. Because it's, who knows that atmosphere can be awesome at times, and who knows that faith can rise when Jesus' presence through atmosphere comes in a room. But we're supposed to live and walk in Him. Oh, yeah. No, I can't have music. Sorry. But I love you guys. Oh, I love you guys. It might be too easy, Anna, if you start singing like a bird. Yeah. No, see, because here's the truth. When you're in Walmart's parking lot taking a step of faith, maybe for the first time, they are not behind you tearing it up. You're usually uncomfortable and nervous, and you're wondering why they're still rolling their eyes. And after the third time of rolling their eyes, you're wondering why they're even letting you pray. Who knows what I'm talking about? It doesn't always feel. So I just don't get any music going. And I try to make the room as dry as possible. So that we just live in a simple, we believe God. So here's what I'm going to tell you before we get this rolling. So when we do get it rolling, we can just move. I'm going to get you guys to help me. We're going to pray for every person that wants prayer tonight. I'm going to get you guys to help me. Now watch this. The Lord showed me how to do this. I've been doing this now for about 2 solid years. It might be more. Time flies. Your prayer never has, never will heal anybody. Don't put your confidence in your prayer. You put your confidence in His unfailing love towards people and the finished work of the cross. If it's about our prayer, we should all go to prayer college and stay there till we get it. Who's ever prayed for the sick and you found as soon as you prayed for the sick, you got conscious in your prayer? And you tried to pray right, tried to pray better, tried to pray powerful. And you got self-conscious in your prayer. Come on, everybody that's prayed for the sick knows exactly what I'm talking about. So we're going to throw that away. I'm going to protect you of that tonight. So I'm only going to give you 5 seconds. That works too. It's awesome, ain't it? Because you're not going to be self-conscious. You can't do anything wrong in 5 seconds. No, say this, even I can't mess that up in 5 seconds. That's what you need to say, right? Because here's what we're going to do. We're going to find out what we're praying for, and we're just going to pray a 5-second say to the mountain kind of prayer, like, you know, whatever the condition, leave their body in the authority of Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your great love. Who knows you can do that in 5 seconds? Be sincere, not be self-conscious, and actually believe God loves the person you're praying for. The people that are getting prayed for tonight, I'm asking you to only do one thing tonight. Whether you've been 38 years or 38 hours, I want you to do one thing tonight. Irregardless of the challenge and the condition, and I know that's easier said than what maybe you experienced. I'm not downplaying. I get it. I want you to believe one thing tonight. God, you have to love me or you'd have never sent your son. And I'm not going to let this trial, this challenge, this season question what my heart knows through the sending of your son. Father, you love me and I receive your love. If you have trouble sleeping and you have sleep aid at night and stuff, go home tonight. Watch this. I see this happen. It's ridiculous when God gives me a word to do this in a church. It's like 100%. We check it all weekend long and it's phenomenal. Pastors are like, that's powerful, because he wants relationship. Do you know you could pray for healing over and over and be actually impersonal this way? And you could just be trying to get healed and never even communicate with the Lord. Tonight you lay on your bed. If you take sleep aid and you can't sleep and nighttime is a challenge, you take whatever you take to try to go to sleep. And just tonight, there's nothing wrong with taking it. You could take it and wrap faith around that. But tonight you lay on your bed and you put that aside on the shelf deliberately and you say, you know what, Lord, I could take this and not be condemned. You love me and it would probably even help a little like it's been. But you know what? Tonight it's just all you. Because you know what I believe? I believe you absolutely love me. Do you know how many Christians have never initiated that truth to him from their own heart? When I pastored, I used to ask a lot of people, a large percentage of people in those days when I first started pastoring, like 90% of people had never even thought about saying, God, thank you for loving me, even thought it was presumptuous, let alone communicated it. Put the thing on the hutch, on the nightstand or whatever and just say, you know what? You love me. And tonight I'm going to sleep in you in your presence. And I just appreciate the love you have for me. And you just curl up and get comfy and do it through communion and watch what happens in your life without anybody praying for you tonight for that. Communion. If you do ever get prayed for, I'm just covering a lot of things that I cover. So once we get rolling, I can let you guys roll and we can watch what God's doing. Don't ever be afraid to receive prayer. Don't say, man, I'm so tired of being prayed for and it never happening. Let's not turn faith into a hit, miss, win or lose. Make it or break it. Get it or don't. I don't know why he did. I don't know why he didn't. Faith is an active. It's a verb. Believe is a verb. We're going to believe God. So if I crawl in bed tonight and I was prayed for and that hip grabs me like it did every other night before I was prayed for, rather than go, man, there it goes again. I thought I'd be healed tonight. I was wonder why I'm not healed. There's got to be something blocking my healing. Now you're on this. Man, as soon as that thing grabs you, wonder if you just look up and say, Father, I so appreciate your love for me. I so appreciate that young man that stood with me, that young lady that laid hands on me and spoke healing over me in the kingdom that's working in me. God, your love is making a difference in my life and you're doing a work in my body. Thank you for what you're doing. And you just crawl asleep. I'm telling you, that's how the thing will change because you don't know how to let go and you don't know how to change your mind. You have one option. He loves you and he's doing a work in your life.
You get it?
That's how faith continues to be faith. Let me ask you a question tonight. You have a condition in your life and in your body. It doesn't have symptoms. It's internal. It's on a test. It comes and goes. If you were prayed for tonight and you were healed, there'd be no way to physically tell. Time would have to tell. A test would have to tell. Or it just wouldn't reoccur in the next 2 or 3 days or whatever. But if you were healed, there'd be no way that you'd actually be able to testify other than simple faith in your heart. You would have no symptoms to actually check, no way your body would be able to identify you're healed other than just believing it. Let me see who you are. A condition in your body that if you were healed, there'd be no way to tell if you were healed because it's internal, it's on a test, it's in your blood. Okay, can you, if you can, well, you would be able to because it's not symptomatic. Just stand to your feet, the people that are raising their hands, stand to your feet. If you have this condition I'm talking about, this situation, please stand. Don't come this far tonight and then not stand. Please don't do that. Every church I go to, it seems like the Lord, I end up fishing and don't make me go fishing. I'm a pretty good fisherman. Like God wants you to stand up tonight. So don't say, you know, I'm just going. Here's the other one. A lady just told me this last. Well, I didn't want to stand because I didn't want to claim it. You're not claiming it. You're saying this thing is outside of wholeness. I believe he paid for me to be healed. Is any among you sick? James 5, let him ask. If you couldn't say you weren't feeling well, you could never ask. You're not claiming it. There's a teaching out there that says don't claim it. You're not claiming it. You're saying there's something going on in my life and I just don't believe it's God's best. It's wholeness and I believe he'll heal me from it. I'm going to stand up. And then you just tell a person, look, I've been going through this. I would love you to pray. That's all we're doing tonight. For this, we won't know if you're healed. We're just going to believe. Same faith, same finished work. One's not easier than the other. Don't gravitate in your life to one. Don't say, oh, this is the group I want to pray for. Because there's no way we can tell anyway. I feel safer. Don't do that. If you stood up tonight, all I want you to do in a minute is just believe God loves you. In fact, would you do that right now? Just believe God loves you or he'd have never sent his son. That's your belief. You'd have never came, Jesus, if God the Father didn't love me. You'd have never come. For God so loved that he gave. So Father, thank you for loving me. Stretch your hands to somebody. If you're sitting real close to them, maybe you can even tap them and grab their hand. And if you get their attention, just do this when you do that. Watch this. Don't ask them what's wrong. We don't even need to. You watch and see in your lives the people that stood up. Dave said it today. Make sure you email the church and let them know what happened in your body this weekend. Encourage one another. Let's encourage one another. They can let people know. If you touch them right now and you're with somebody, just say, be whole in Jesus' name. No more symptoms. No more weakness. No more pain. Complete wholeness in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you all across the room. Nothing return. Nothing show up on a test. nothing come back in a day, two, a week, a month. God, we thank you for bringing change right now in the bodies of people. In Jesus' name, be whole. Amen? Amen. It's good. Thanks for standing. Thanks for standing. Yay, God. Okay, so the next group's who? The next group is people that will be able to tell. Right? So I have some walkers. There's wheelchairs. There's a couple situations in the room that people probably couldn't stand if they want prayer. So what I need you to do is at least let us know where you are. I can't see everybody. I don't know who can and can't stand. So what I need you to do, if you have sickness in your body, and you would be able to, without exaggeration, without the worship team tearing it up and you going, oh, I'm good. I'm talking dry room, 5 seconds of prayer, and then you start checking your body, that you would know if you were healed, because this thing has a symptom attached to it, a limitation, a pain, a frozen thing, a bondage, a growth, a eye, an ear. You got what I'm saying? You got something in the room that if you were healed, you would absolutely be able to tell and know without exaggeration through a thorough check of your own. I need you to stand to your feet for me. Please, don't stay in your chairs. Please stand. If you can't stand, ma'am, the lady with the walker, you just sit right there. You don't have to stand. You just stay right there. We're coming to you. We'll get you. And Jesus is going to get you. Stand to your feet. Come on, I want everybody that fits this description, please. I'm waiting on a couple. I just know when I'm waiting. You know what's funny, see? Okay, got a man. Are you Dan? Is your name Dan? Yeah? Good, good. I'm glad you made it. I just realized, wow, you might be Dan. I'm glad you made it. I talked to Dan on the phone yesterday. And they drove from somewhere. Where are you? In the Allentown area or Reading or somewhere in that area? They came all the way here tonight to believe God. He's been paraplegic for 40 years. Am I right? And then in 2012, cancer was diagnosed, and he's been believing and praying, and we had a real heart-to-heart on the phone, and he was real honest and cried and talked, and he's just a good man that wants to hold on to faith and belief. I'm so glad he came. So at some point, I want somebody to go stand with that man, Dan, in the back that has his hand up. You guys sit and see where he's at back there, right? Somebody's going to make their way to him. Okay, now listen. I don't want just friends on friends and spouses on spouses. I want you to mix it up. I want you to go. Do we have everybody standing that needs to stand? Come on. Who's still sitting that's got some stuff in their body that's not holding? I just feel like we're not ready yet. We're waiting on a couple people. Good. Okay, good, good. Yeah, I was just feeling like, man, we are not participating like we could. We're getting closer. Here's what's cool. Do we already have plenty of people to pray for? Yeah. Why am I waiting? Because I felt like everybody that God wanted up isn't up yet. And that's exciting to me. That means he's moving and things are happening and he don't want you in your chair. That's pretty exciting. You get 25 people standing. You could pray. You can go for it, right? I'm like, no, we gotta, okay. I got six people. Six people. You're still sitting in your chair. You have evident arthritis in your body. You have pains and feelings of arthritis. You're still sitting in your chair. You need to stand up. I got six of you. Come on. Who stood up on that one? Let me know so I know I got all my people. Oh, man, I might have a dozen. I knew I had six. Oh, we did it, Dave. We threw one lure and filled the life well. Fish are jumping in the boat. No, I just heard that. Arthritis symptoms you're in, and sometimes we just learn to live with it. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm not getting any younger. Things happen, blah, blah, blah. No, I feel like God's going to take pains from people and take immobility and stiffness and grinding. Man, I see it. Grinding. It's going to take stuff. Isn't that cool? Okay, now here's the deal. The people sitting, you people that are sitting, don't freak out on me and get nervous. If you get nervous, I really want you on my team. Because you won't be overconfident. You won't do anything in your own strength. The people sitting, actually, you got roped into this. You're my prayer team. And I need you to participate. Because this is about the body of Christ and these signs following those that... This isn't about Dan Moeller. This is about Jesus Christ in us. And the Christ in us is the hope of what? Glory. So let's manifest belief and get our hands on somebody tonight. So here's what I need you to do. Everybody standing, put your hand, one hand high, just so you, when the crowd, when everybody gets up, they'll know who you are and where you are. What I need everybody sitting to do is one-on-one, just go grab somebody, have fun with them, do an icebreaker, say, hey, I've never done this before, or whatever. But go find somebody and say, hey, I'm going to stand with you. Don't pray yet. Don't pray yet. Just go find them. Don't pray yet. As soon as they claim you, put your hand down. The only people I want with your hand up is you're waiting for someone. If you're tucked in and it's too hard to get to you, get out where they can get to you. I only want your hand up if you're waiting for someone. Put your hand down if you have somebody. Okay, look for hands. People that were sitting, help me, please, one-on-one. Look, this is so easy, you can't go wrong. You have 5 seconds to believe God. It'll be fun. Do we got everybody? If we're missing somebody, let me know. Do we have everybody? Awesome. Okay, we can do this. Watch. Everybody give me your attention. Okay, now watch. Only 3 seconds. 3 seconds to tell them why you stood. Don't give them the long version. Just 3 seconds. Give them an idea of what you're believing for so they know what to speak to. 3 seconds. It should be done real quick. Just tell them. You got it? Everybody got it? Everybody know? Okay, then look back up here and give me your attention. We're going to do this as a family. And I know you don't believe this, but I actually can be quiet for 5 seconds. No, I can't. I'm going to do it. I'm not praying with you. I'm not praying over top you. I'm going to let you pray for your person for 5 seconds. Ain't that awesome? You know what's sweet and exciting? You got up for prayer a minute ago, and now you're praying. I like that. You don't ever say, well, I can't pray for the sick because I'm going through my own issue. That might be the best time for you to pray for the sick because it's a statement that, hey, no matter what I'm going through, I believe he's the healer. Amen. Yeah? Are y'all good? Y'all know what you're praying for? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to say, the reason I had you find out what's going on, Matthew 17, if you have faith, you're going to say to the mountain, be moved, and the mountain will what? Okay. So you're going to lay hands on them and you're going to say, remember I said about the arthritis thing? I'm just using it as an example. Arthritis, you go. Every pain, you leave. Every immobility, you go. In Jesus' name, be whole. Who knows you can do that in 5 seconds and be super sincere and believe God loves them? You get it? So it's not your prayer. It's what you believe about His love. The people being prayed for, you have one thing I'm asking you to do tonight. Whether you've been sick 30 years or 30 days or 30 minutes, I want you to believe God absolutely loves you or He'd never send His Son, period. Set your heart on His love tonight. Would you? Okay. And then after I say, I'm going to give you about 5 seconds, I'm going to say, or 6 seconds, I'm going to say, wrap it up. I mostly give churches 6 seconds. I stole a second from you. Just feels better. 5. You guys can do 5. So I'm going to say, okay, wrap it up. And in about 5 seconds, I'm going to say, wrap it up, 6 seconds, give or take. What that means is just bring it to the close of what you're directly praying for in Jesus' name. When you pray for people in public, please don't pray real, real long. They might already be uncomfortable. Yeah. Learn to just believe, get to the point, and release faith. Don't pray like 2 minutes over them, be praying for their great-great-grandfather's sins and okay? Y'all ready? When I say wrap it up, they're going to wrap it up. You're going to thank God He loves you, and then we're going to take our time and really legitimately check your bodies. I don't want any exaggeration in this room. I don't want you looking at the big brown eyes of the young girl that prayed for you and think, I just can't break her heart. Yes, honey, I feel great. I feel great. That's called lying. Revelation 19 says you lie, you fry. So I don't want you frying tonight. We want you healed. We don't want you exaggerating. Okay? If we pray for you and you know you're healed, that'll be great. And you'll be like, yay, and you'll know. If you don't feel your body change or you don't notice any change, please don't jump ship tonight. Please don't draw conclusions and say, man, I knew. See, I never. How come? Yeah, and look, they'll be raising their hand. I never. Don't do that. We're going to take a couple testimonies. You're going to listen to a few testimonies. And when you hear their testimony, here's what you do. Wow, you're amazing. You are a healer. You love us. You love me. You're doing a work in our lives. Thanks for what you're doing in my body, in our bodies. Thank you. And then check your thing again. You hear a second testimony. Wow, God, thank you. Check your thing again. You watch what happens in a room like this. I see it all the time. It's like popcorn in a bag. And it's like all of a sudden people are like, what? Whoa! And some people will be standing there for 5-7 minutes. We shared 3 testimonies and nothing's changed. And all of a sudden they'll go, hey, it's almost completely gone. And the person with them will go, yeah, thank you, Father. And they'll be like, whoa! And it's just fun. Because he's teaching us believing is believing and never letting go. Are you with me? Are you all ready? You didn't forget what you're praying for. Look at them real affectionate and real, make them uncomfortable. Look at them like, oh, you are so worth the love of God. All right, make them nervous. Are you ready? Okay, I'm going to be quiet for 5 to 6 seconds. It's you, Jesus, and the person he loves, okay? Go, pray for him right now. Okay, that's already like 5-6 seconds. So just bring that to a close. Not a legalistic thing. Just Jesus' name. Wow, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yep, bring it to a close. If you were prayed for, I want you right now to just thank God. He absolutely loves you. He'd have never sent his son if he didn't. And begin to check your bodies right now. I want you to really check your bodies. If you know, make sure you know. Like if you know, make sure you know. And then let me know when you know you're healed. Check your bodies. Keep checking them. Take your time. Thank God. Talk to your person. Ask them what's going on. As soon as you know you're healed, let me know who you are. Let me see your hands. You know for sure? Yeah? Good. You know, CJ? Yeah? Well, pray again for total mobility. Who knows? Let me know. Who else knows? I got a couple people that know. You know for sure? Okay. We'll get some testimony for sure. Yeah. Come on. I'm believing for popcorn in a bag. Check your bodies. Stay thankful. Stay in this thing. Let me see if you know. Let me see anybody else. Anybody else? You know? You know for sure. So you took your time. Oh, you knew? It just went away just now. Ah, good. Anybody else? Who else? Anybody else? I'm just watching what God's doing. What? Peg? That's so awesome. Look at you. I love it. So Peg just said, yep. Who's going to give me a testimony quick? What? You got something going on here?
My shoulder's loosening up.
Okay, good, good. Okay. Hey, Mark. Just believe in God for you, buddy. Just believe in God. You just can touch him again and just speak some things and just encourage life and movement and mobility. Anybody want to share something real quick that happened that you know you're healed of? Anybody? Come on, it'll encourage others. You had a bunch of hands. Don't not. Who's going to share something? Yeah, but no, somebody don't. Yeah? You're healed? Shout out loud. What happened? Neck injury? From 10 years ago, was it easy to locate and know that you had a problem? Was it painful? Was it limitation? How did you know you had a problem? Like, was it pretty obvious to your body?
It was obvious.
Okay, yeah, here.
When I would lift things, it would give me pain.
Okay.
And I lifted a chair.
You lifted a chair?
We just went out and lifted a chair.
So, in other words, if you looked for it, you could certainly find it for the last 10 years.
Yes.
You can't find it at all?
No.
For 10 years, it's been there. It's completely gone? Completely gone.
Completely gone.
Beautiful. Beautiful. No, thank you, Jesus. So if you're checking your body right now, just say, hey, come on. I did not give her $50 to say that. I don't even know her. Is there anybody else? Who knows they were healed and they want to testify? Who? What happened? Now they're all raising their hand for you. Are you raising your hand? Did you get healed? Yeah, you just didn't want to talk? Come on, you want to talk. Go get her, Rick. She's so shy. Get her to talk. It's all good. Give glory to Jesus. Just tell us real simple what's going on.
I couldn't turn side to side because of my back pain.
You're so young. How'd that happen? Where did you get back pain like that?
I'm not sure. Just probably like stress, but I couldn't turn side to side.
You can't find pain right now?
No.
No? See, did you see her emotion? So that hasn't been normal. It's been easy to feel pain. Like if you'd have done that, it would have been there.
Yeah.
And it's not there at all?
No.
Is that pretty awesome to you? It's like, is that like a God reality kind of thing right now? Like Jesus is like, hello. Yeah? He loves you, honey.
Thank you.
Isn't that awesome? Father, thank you for what you're doing in her life. That's beautiful. Who else wants to share a testimony? You had one, right? Did you say you were healed? Hey, Rick, can you run?
Actually,
Woo! We're going to hear you, brother.
You guys prayed for me earlier.
Okay.
My pain came back, though.
Okay.
A couple hours ago, and it is gone now.
Completely gone.
It left.
Okay. So stretch your hands to this guy. And then, what's your name again?
Chuck,
you prayed for him?
I did.
Put your hand back on him and thank God for what he did and just say, you will never ever come back.
Pain, you will never ever come back.
Ever come back.
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for wholeness. Never come back. Amen? You have none at all. None at all. It's beautiful. Who, you were healed? Yeah, Rick, right here. I knew you raised your hand like you were one of the first ones. You were like, yeah.
I have breast cancer, and I had a mastectomy, and I started to fill back up with fluid again.
Okay.
On top of the scar tissue.
Okay.
And the pain is completely gone. When I came in here, it was really painful.
It was really bad?
I have 11 different diseases, and I'm filling my feet for the first time.
Oh. She's just crying. She's feeling her feet for the first time. Since when?
God,
no, years. Just try to. Since when?
Years.
Years. Long
years.
Time. You couldn't feel your feet. And you can feel your feet right now. Anything else you want to tell us? Is there anything else going on?
Yeah, I have scoliosis of the spine. My spine doesn't hurt right now.
Is there a way to check that? Is there a way she can feel that? Was it obvious to feel? If somebody ran their fingers down, could they tell?
Yeah.
See if what you can tell or feel. Can you feel it anymore?
No.
No? No. Stretch your hands to this lady, guys. What's your name, honey?
Deb.
Yeah, you just go ahead and cry. We ain't going to stop you. See, when it's your body, you get it. And you understand. And you can tell she ain't making this up. Father, we thank you for Deb. We thank you for your strong hand upon her. We thank you that there'll be no diseases and no named diseases that hinder this woman's life after this night. Lord God, we thank you for total wholeness, the glory of what you've done, and the mercy of what you've done. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. Thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. And thank you for making Deb whole. And we appreciate you, Lord God, in it. And we just say, you stay well and you be well, Deb, all the days of your life. In Jesus' name. That's a good one, buddy. Anybody else? You got something to share? You got something to testify? Rick? Okay, yeah, just do what you're doing and we'll be there in a minute. Just do it by faith, Mark.
I had a skin condition where cysts would form and the bacteria and the cysts would eat away at the flesh.
Wow.
And this morning I had a hole about this big in my leg.
Okay.
And I don't have a hole.
It's going.
In my leg anymore.
Oh my goodness. Hey, can I get bold and say something to you? Guess what else you don't have? A skin disease after this moment. I'm telling you, I'm declaring that. And I agree with that. No more holes, no more cysts in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So the hole that was absolutely in your leg, how big was it?
About that big.
It was that big. It's completely gone. You just checked it.
I just went to the bathroom and checked it.
She went to the bathroom and the hole that was in her leg from her skin eating away from a cyst and a skin disease is gone.
I had them completely.
Guys, we can't make this stuff up. Like, Jesus.
Like, I had like dark purple marks from the scarring from like how bad like the tissue had been eaten. And I have like maybe like little pink marks that's left. And like my husband.
Oh my goodness, that's beautiful.
He can tell you that like it was bad.
And like, you knew it was bad.
Yeah.
And it's gone.
I haven't seen it.
Okay. You're gonna. Woo! Now listen, guys, I'm not being sarcastic, smart, or whatever. I haven't seen everything I've prayed for change. I've seen people die that I prayed for. But man, I've seen way too many people change to get out of this race, to back up, to compromise, and to calm down. We're going to keep praying and believing and receiving in Jesus' name. When you got a young lady saying, I went to the bathroom and the hole's not there, you're going to go, all right, let's get it on. Amen? Isn't it amazing how we're tempted to build a doctrine on what didn't happen instead of build on what God's doing? There's hands back there. Who else? Come on. Let's grab a few. Do you see how popcorn's popping? Do you see how it works? How it just keeps building momentum? Keep checking your bodies. Keep checking your bodies all over.
Yeah, I have arthritis in both knees, but it was real painful until the gentleman prayed for me, and I have no pain in either knee.
You have no pain. Let me ask you a question, sir, so we understand. Is there ever a time you don't have pain, or is it pretty much always there and easy to feel?
Mostly all the time.
It's there all the time?
Yes.
And you can feel it all the time. And if you'd look for it, you could find it easy.
Right.
I'm not putting words in your mouth, right?
Jennifer prayed for me, and I have done ever since he's prayed for me.
You have no pain?
No.
That's just so beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Who prayed for you? Who prayed for you? Come on, man. You're trying to tell me Jesus is on the inside of you? Yeah! Who else has a testimony? Who wants to share something? Anybody? Right here. Excited.
I had a hip replacement maybe 6 years ago. And every so often, stuff flares up.
Uh-huh.
And it doesn't go away very quickly. It didn't go away right away, but it's gone now.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Wow.
It's gone.
What are you experiencing, Roy? Any change at all? Okay. Hey, will you do me a favor? Grab her.
Linda.
Hey, look at her. She's like testifying. That's awesome. Do me a favor. This gentleman over here is going through a hip thing and they want to replace, or they did replace one. Stem cell and they want, and he didn't have anything, but they're talking about replacing. Would you come over and just stand with them, just in the testimony, right, of Jesus, spirit of prophecy, and just what God did, God will do. And just pray for Roy and just stand. And the people that were praying, it's not that you, we're not trying to get you a new person because they ain't working. It's not that. It's just faith in this. She just got healed in her hip. So she's praying for his hips to be completely whole. Anybody else have a testimony or something they want to say that God's doing? Back there? Rick, we're putting you to work, buddy. Back there. Somewhere back there. You guys all good? You having a good time? Come on. We're going to take this one more, and then I'll ask a couple questions, and we're going to be wrapping up.
So my hip was in pain, and I couldn't exercise for that reason, and I stopped, and now I can move it.
You can do all the things that you weren't able to do. Have you thoroughly checked it? Yeah? Yeah, way back there where nobody can watch. You've been working them hips. So you know right now that it's changed.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen? Amen. Who here, you didn't raise your hand or testify because you're not 100%, but you're definitely better than you were. You just didn't raise your hand and testify because it's not 100%. Let me see your hands. Okay, what's that tell you? If you're a little bit better, is it because we hyped the atmosphere and we got you believing that? Or is it because your body's telling you that? Is your symptom changed, right? So what's that tell you? That tells you God's moving, right? At some level. So to have your person, just do one more 5-second prayer. And here's what I tell everywhere I go. Watch. The Lord's really told me to do it this way because it empowers everybody. Watch. Pray for 5 more seconds and don't change your prayer. Don't grab for straws. Pray the same thing you believe the first time, and let's see God do the more. Are you ready? So do that right now, and then we're going to do one more thing quick. Just do that. 5 seconds right now. 5 seconds. You're somewhat healed. You're somewhat changed. You're just not all the way. So, Father, thank you for what you've done, and thank you for wholeness. In Jesus' name. You got it? Just do it. Believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen? Okay, that group, just that group. Check your bodies. And I want to know, and I don't want you to exaggerate, I want you to know if you got all the way that time. That last 5 seconds, if you got all the way. Anybody in that group get all the way healed? Like it all left. Check it out good. Check it out good. You're not under pressure. Don't make anything up. You're not on the hot seat for this. We're just privileged to believe and receive. Is there anybody that changed and got better than they were? Not 100% yet? Okay. Better than you were. Even better. Here's what I do in the street if I pray for somebody. If they say they got better, I've never had somebody say, no, you can't pray again. If they got better, they're like, pray again. What happened? Who's yelling? Who's, what happened? Who, what? Come on, man. I missed that. What?
78, first time I ran.
Come on! What's going on?
I've been messed up from birth.
Wait. You've been messed up from birth.
I'm 78.
Wait. So what are you doing that you couldn't do from birth? What?
I'm supposed to be using the cane, but I'm too stubborn for that. I'm stubborn old man.
But you couldn't, move that fast?
I couldn't run at all.
No, wait. Your whole life.
My whole life, I could not.
You have never been able to move at that pace.
No.
Do that again. What? Come on. Who's this guy? Anybody know this guy? Is he telling me the truth? I'm messing with you. Oh my goodness. So he had a condition. You had a condition was limiting the movement of your hips and legs to where you couldn't move at that pace your whole life.
By the time I was 17, I had 13 surgeries on my legs.
Wow. What?
I was just all twisted up when I was born.
And now you're 78. You stood for that.
In 2019, I died twice.
Guys, he's 78 and he stood for a 5-second prayer. He's been that way from birth. And he's never done that in 78 years. And his family and the people that know him say, he's telling the truth. God, thank you, Father. God, Lord God, thank you. Anybody else in my last group? I'm trying to regroup. See, we're not professional. Anybody in my last group get any better since we've been checking and praying that last group? Anybody get all the way? Anybody? I know you're doing, God's moving. Okay, I need to see my group. There's a group. If there's a group, I need to see who you are. We're going to close with this, and I talk about it. I'm not afraid to talk about it. Who's here you've been being prayed for this whole time? You've been listening to testimonies, checking your bodies, but your body seems exactly the same it is always is. Nothing seems to have changed. Let me see your hands. Don't be embarrassed. Don't think that's the problem. Don't think like, oh, what's wrong with me? Please don't ever go there. I'm telling you, the tendency is, what's wrong with me? What am I doing wrong? And just to get self-condemned, what's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? Please don't ever go there. I've never seen anyone go there and come out okay. It messes you here. So raise your hands and let me know who you are and where you are. If we didn't see anything change yet, but you've been being prayed for and you've been checking, leave your hand up. Let me see. Now look around. Is your person still here? You're not allowed to get another person. We're not trading in your person. No, we are not trading in your person, because it's not about your person. Keep your hand up. Is your person still here? Look and make sure you don't run and say, I ain't going over there. Go to your person. Get them. If you were the one that prayed for them, go to them right now. I'm still seeing there's like, are you over there? Is your person with you? Okay, your person's with you. Everybody got their person. Okay, we're going to do this. And believe together, their person, I want you to pray the same 5-second prayer just one more time. Just one more time. And everybody right now together, just believe for them that God does something beautiful. Would you? Would you? In Jesus' name. Come on, church. Everybody pray and believe right now that God does something in these people that raised their hands. We're not afraid to talk about this. Come on. In Jesus' name. Yeah, that's good. That's really, really good. Okay, just my last group that I had that raised your hands. Just please check yourselves right now. Just check yourselves. And if anybody's in that last group that nothing had changed and something's changing now, I need to know who you are. Anything changing in anybody that last group that just raised their hands? We got something changing somewhat. Anybody else changing in that last group? Just check. Take your time. Father, thank you that you love me. Yeah? Is there anything changing in anyone? Thank you, God. Somewhat? A little better. It hadn't changed up until now, and now it's feeling different? Okay. You feel like you can? You want to show me and do what this guy... That's so awesome. Okay, all of a sudden, hadn't changed, and all of a sudden, he's feeling like he can walk faster. He doesn't have the same levels of pain, and nothing changed up until now. So what's that showing us? Let's believe and keep on believing. Let's not grow weary in well-doing. Let's not turn inward. Let's not take a test God didn't lay on our table. That's not what's wrong with me. Why can't I receive? Let's not get down on ourselves. Let's enjoy believing God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is there anybody else checking your body that anything changed that last round? Anybody that was in that group? Anybody? Something got better? Okay, so I got 3 people out of that group that say, yep, it's starting to change up. It feels somewhat better. I can testify it's changed some. Anybody else? So here's where we're at. Here's where we're ending. It's almost 9:00. We didn't even do bad. We got people that were instantly healed. We got people that were somewhat healed and then got a little better. And some people that are just somewhat changed right now. And then we have a handful of people that it didn't seem like anything changed. And then 3 of them got a little bit better. Watch. Everyone has the same response. It's the same faith. Nothing changes about God, His Word. We've got to learn what it means to stay humble in the truth and say, you know what, God? I just believe you're working in me. I believe you love me. I don't have answers for all the hard questions people want to ask or my mind wants to think. I'm just being simple tonight and like a child, and I'm receiving the kingdom. You love me, and you are doing a work in me. That's the only response a Christian has. Now, be honest with me. We had a lot of results and fruit in this room. Didn't we? Who here knows you were healed or somewhat healed tonight? Just all at one time, raise your hand really high and go like this if you absolutely know. Okay, now watch. Watch. We preached on the matter of fact and put scripture on the wall. Challenged some touchy topics. And got everybody involved in the simplicity of faith and gave you 5 seconds to do it. And God said, I like this. It's how he told me to do it. And he starts showing up. And we got people that said from birth, for years, I don't know when. Yay. You're still overwhelmed. You are going to stay overwhelmed. I just want you to do this with me. And then when I jump down, I know people come to me and want to talk and stuff. I'm going to run back to Dan. Is he still here? I'm going to run back to Dan. And I know I don't normally do this, but I want to do this for Dan. I'm going to run back. I want to lay hands on him and just believe a couple of things and meet him and say hi to his family. I'm going to pray for him too. I just want to agree that God and just, it's just something I want to do because we had a good talk on the phone and I appreciate the go through is real. And sometimes even when you stand, not everybody understands what you're believing and what you're standing for. And sometimes just standing can be a challenge because people don't understand. And they're afraid for you and they think you're going to get hurt all the more. And, but man, I'm just telling you, stand and stand there for. Yeah. So after you've done all you can do to stand, what? Stand there for. You get it? It's all scriptural. I got this from the book. So here's what I want to do. Can you lift your hands with me to heaven? It's just a sign of honor and yieldedness. It doesn't make you charismatic, Pentecostal. It doesn't deliver you from your Baptist roots or your Methodist roots. Isn't that feel good? Look at you all. Y'all look silly. No, I'm kidding. Lift your hands. Let's look up to him. Let's just yield to him and honor him. And would you from your heart right now, and not just me leading, would you begin to thank him for tonight and that he's good and that he's empowering us and he's loving us and he's healing us. He is a good God. Would you tell him he's good? We appreciate you. We love you. Father, we receive from you as a room corporately. We say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you're doing in our spirits, our souls, and our bodies. We rejoice in you. Watch this. We're not going to grow weary in well-doing. We're done fighting and arguing, debating. We're just going to get close to you, get to know you. We're going to live in joy and walk in love. And one day you're coming and we're going to be glad we believed. God, thank you for being our Father. In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. Anybody want to say anything in closing?
Amen.